Amanda McCreed with you, and I'm joined by Dr. Fiona Giblin to talk about all things pets. Good afternoon.
How are you, Amanda?
I'm great, thank you. Now, we're missing Cheryl today.
Yeah, she's not feeling so well.
So I'll try and
answer everyone's questions by myself.
Yeah. If you've got a question for Dr. Fiona Giblin, you can give us a call on 49216216, and you'll also go into the draw to win a $50 pet food voucher. So there's incentive. And what are we going to talk about today?
Well, I've just experienced moving house with my pet, so I thought something probably other people experience fairly regularly themselves. So things that I've learnt in the last month or so, I thought I might try and impart some helpful tips and tricks for others going through the same situation.
Excellent. Sounds good. To a new RFM, this is Pet Chat with Dr. Fiona Giblin, and we have a caller from Curry Curry. It's Joe. Hi, Joe.
Oh, hi. How are you both?
Good, thank you. You've got an issue with your cavoodle.
Yeah, he just continually licks. It does it like he loves chasing the ball. He'll chase the ball, he'll bring it back, and then he licks, you know, like...
Okay.
Yeah, and we just wondered if there was something we could do to stop the licking.
Yeah, sure. How old is he, Joe?
About 3.5.
Okay, and is it something that he's always done?
Yeah, he's always been a licker, and I just put it down to his breed.
Okay.
But then someone said it could be because he's nervous or something.
So, yeah. Okay. Is it, say you're sort of sitting on the couch or something, he's sort of coming over to you and wants to lick, or it's anyone that walks in the front door all the time? Or
as soon as people come in, he'll start licking them, you know. He'll lick their feet, lick their legs.
Yeah, okay. And is it getting the same, better or worse, would you say?
I think it's getting a little bit worse.
Okay. It is more than likely, Joe, a behavioural thing. Okay.
Yep.
It's not a nutritional thing. He's not missing any vital nutrients or anything like that. It is as much a habit as anything else. Okay.
Yep.
So a lot of what we need to do to help him is retraining. Okay.
Yep.
It makes them feel good to lick. That's why they do it. So it can be, you mentioned sort of anxiety and behaviour. It certainly can make them feel better to do it.
Yeah.
But what we need to do is create other outlets for him. Okay. Is he food driven, Joe? Has he got like a favourite food or something, like a treat?
No, I mean, look, he likes his tucker, but he's not, I don't think we could get him to do any tricks for food.
Okay.
You know? He's just lazy.
Okay. Typical cavoodle, probably.
Yeah.
Just wants cuddles.
Yeah.
So basically what we need to do is retrain him, okay? And it's hard because you're up against 3.5 years of practice, basically.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we want to start with, I would be having him on the lead, okay, when he's inside, so you've got a bit more control, okay?
Uh-huh.
And when he starts licking, you give him a command instead. Maybe it's sit. Okay, and then he sits and you give him a treat.
Okay.
And then, probably 2 seconds later, he's going to start licking and you tell him to sit again and you give him a treat.
Uh-huh.
And then this goes on and on and on and on until you're very, very sick of telling him to sit. But the idea is slowly and steadily he will learn.
He'll
licking licking doesn't get me food. Sitting gets me food.
Okay.
Then when someone else comes over, same thing. While you're still training him, he needs to be on a lead, okay, so that you can control, because it might be that you get better, you're able to tell him to sit and give him the treat much more reliably than someone visiting, okay?
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And then when you've got it down pat and he knows, right, I can't lick mum, I just have to sit next to mum and then I get a treat.
Yep.
And then you just extrapolate that more and more and more.
Mm-hmm.
And then the idea being we've retrained him to not lick.
No, that makes sense.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And he's still young enough, like he's smart, you know, you just have to it's a bit like kids, you know, you just gotta they have to know what you expect of them.
Yeah.
And then with a bit of food and positive, always positive. Okay.
But
I'd be pretty optimistic that that you can make some good headway there, Joe.
Oh, yeah. Look, I think I will, because, I mean, look, he's been toilet trained since we got him as a puppy. Like, he never misses his little tray or anything else. So he's smart enough to learn.
Yeah, you'll get there.
All right. Thank you so much for your help.
No worries. Take care, Joe.
Yeah, have a lovely day.
You too.
Bye.
Bye. All the best with that, Joe. Okay, next on the line, we've got Michelle from New Lambton. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, how are you going?
Good, good. How can I help?
Yeah, Dr. Fiona, my 12-year-old blue heeler female.
Yes.
Is incontinent of urine.
Yes.
She's just started Sulbolstrol tablet.
Yes.
She's on about a third week, so they have like the priming dose.
Okay.
For the first 5 days, they have one full tablet, and then after that, one weekly.
Yes.
And it's not working.
Okay. All right. So she's been on them a few weeks now, Michelle?
Yeah.
Okay. And do you recall, did the vets have a look at a urine sample of hers at all?
Yes. And it was clear. There was no bugs in it.
No infection. Okay. Well, that's good news. And is this a problem that's relatively new, Michelle?
It is.
Okay. And has she had any other diagnostics like X-ray or ultrasound or blood tests or anything like that?
No.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. So, yes, Sulbolstrol, which you mentioned, is definitely one of the options that we have available for urinary incontinence. There is also another medication, which is usually a twice-daily liquid. Okay. So some dogs respond better to one than the other. All right. So definitely I'd be being in contact with your regular vet, you know, in the next week or so, just saying, look, it's, you know, doesn't seem to be working. They'll probably want you to come back in and so they can chat through the options, see if this twice daily medication is appropriate for her. The other thing I would say, at her age, Michelle, we start to think that maybe something more nasty could be going on. Okay. So if she's not responding appropriately to the medication as we would expect, it might be that we need to do some imaging. Okay. So X-ray or ultrasound of the bladder to look for maybe bladder stones or to look for changes in the bladder lining or any tumours or anything like that. So definitely, I mean, first things first, it's a very as expected medication to start with. But if we're not getting the response that we want, I definitely recommend maybe having a chat to your vet and seeing what their plan is next for the workup.
Okay. Okay.
Does that sound okay?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. So have a chat to your vet and, be guided by what they think the next best step is for you.
Okay. Thank you for that, Fiona.
Thanks for the call, Michelle.
All the best with that, Michelle. And next on the line, we've got Murray from Brankston. Hi, Murray.
Hi, how are you?
Well, thanks, Murray. How can we help?
I was doing some reading about doggy chews. We've got a little long-haired chihuahua. He's just on 6 months old and he's chewing a lot, but he enjoys his doggy chews.
Okay.
And I was just going to ask Dr. Fiona about the actual composition of the doggy chews, especially a lot of cellulose in them. And a lot of them are made overseas, and I was just a little bit concerned about what I'm feeding my little puppy. And she's not a brand person, but should I go with a local product rather than one of the major companies, which may be made in a country I don't even know about?
Yeah, look, good question, Murray. And you know, everyone only wants to do the best by their pet, so valid question. Long story short, I guess the best thing that you could do, you can feed your pets, is something where you know the origin, you know where it's come from, you know where it's been, what it's been treated with. We're really lucky these days. There's a lot of sort of fresh food type, almost dog butchers, that do sell a lot of products that they've made themselves or dehydrated themselves or created themselves. So I guess the benefit of that is you can ask them where it's come from, how they've treated it, that sort of thing. I know Cheryl had a bit of a chat before Christmas about rawhide chews and what some of them contain. So they can be pretty junky, Murray. So, maybe if you've if you want to have a bit of a look around for, a butcher, for want of a better word, to see. Or the alternative is having a chat to your vet. They may stock some themselves, okay? I guess we're aiming for as natural a product as possible.
Yeah,
That's exactly what I was thinking. That's good. Thanks for that.
No problem at all. Have a great day, Murray.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye. Thanks, Murray. And right now we're going to talk about moving with pets.
Yeah, so my family and I have just moved house in the last month, so this is all very fresh for us. And some things that I guess was a little surprised at that took longer or were harder than I anticipated. But yeah, number one, definitely don't forget to update your pet's microchip details. Okay, moving house is a stressful time for them. Arguably, they're much more likely to try and escape or get out of a yard that they are not familiar with or not comfortable with yet. So I live in the Newcastle Council area, so it was super easy. Called up the council, and the lady on the phone was super helpful, directed me through the website. You can do it all online, super easy. So that was done really easily, updated both the dog's microchip numbers. Next step was updating their details on their tags. Okay, so some people put their address on their dog's tags, some people don't. Obviously, if you do have the address on your dog tag, you're going to have to change it because you don't want the dog to be returned to your old house. You want your dog to be returned to the new house.
The new owner's surprise.
Yes, surprise. yes, so had to do that. And one of our dogs is a 15-year-old terrier. So she's definitely in her senior years and does need a bit of TLC. But what we didn't take into account is our back door goes out onto a deck, and then the deck, there's six stairs down to the grass. Well, poor old Meg could get up the stairs but can't get down the stairs. So we had to make sure that if she was up on the deck, that there was water on the deck and there was food on the deck and there was shade on the deck, so that if she found herself up there and not able to get back down, that she had food and water and shelter, basically.
Or you build a dog slide.
yes. Didn't try that, but definitely also an option. And that was just something that I didn't even think about. You know, our four-year-old greyhound just, you know, leaps and bounds up and down as she pleases, but we just didn't take into account that Meg wouldn't be able to judge the stairs. And, you know, a month later, you know, kudos to her, she has managed to work out going down the stairs.
Oh, that's good.
Which is very exciting. The whole family's very excited that she can manage these six stairs. But again, as we sort of talked about earlier with the cavoodle licking, you've got to start slowly. Okay. So to start with, I took her down to the bottom step, and then all she had to do was do one step down onto the grass. And then, you know, she could manage that okay. And then a few days later, we do two stairs. And then, you know, a month later, she's able to do it all by herself. So just things, you know, things that you may not think about your dog, you know, they need to be able to have food and water and shelter without worrying about them. Mm. And making sure the gates, you know, the gates might have been okay for the person before you, but are those spots, you know, are those little gaps too small? You know, maybe your dog can get out and the other dog couldn't. So making sure the yard's nice and secure, which sounds really obvious, but you might just have to go down on doggy level and just make your way around and test out the holes, see if they're Meg sized or Holly sized or who can get in or out. But yeah, and then also if you've got a pool, you know, maybe the dogs aren't used to having a pool, you know, do you have them in with you? Do you not have them in with you? Certainly if they are inside the pool, they must be supervised at all times. Lots of fun to be had. Everyone's settled now, which is good.
That's good. And I guess it's the same with cats. I mean, if you bring a cat into a new home, I guess like we did when we got Tiff, you know, she was unfamiliar with our home. So, and she freaked out because we just let her out straight away.
Yeah.
Apparently the idea is to just contain the cat to one room, let them get used to that room, and then gradually just open the door, let them come out and just have a look around at their own pace rather than introducing them to a whole new area all at once so they freak out.
Absolutely, because the space that big is way too scary and way too overwhelming. So you're much better containing them and having a small space that they can get acclimatised with, and then, as you say, gradually increasing that space. And actually another tip, which is probably not super relevant most of the time, but if you're going to move house, try and spend as much of the day there before it gets dark as possible. You know, don't bring your dog to a brand new house at 6 p.m. at night.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Because that's even more scary, you know, because they have a limited time before it gets dark, before they've got less of their sight and less of those sensors they can use. So as much as possible, see if you can give them as much of the day in that new environment before it's bedtime.
Great advice. Newcastle and the Hunters, 2NURFM, 103.7. You're listening to Pet Chat, and we've got Paul from Rutherford on the line. Hi, Paul.
How are you going?
Well, Paul, how can I help you?
Hi. We've got a 14-and-a-half-year-old Kelpie who we've had all our life, and she's just getting old, sort of gracefully, and we've taken to the vet, get her all the annual checks done and whatever. We went 6 months ago, and we just noticed lately she's drinking more water at night.
Okay.
We put a bowl there, and she holds it in all right. She eats and drinks and does wheeze and poos like any other dog sort of thing. Goes to walk, but just drinking a bit more water now. And
okay.
Is it something to worry about? I know it could be a sign of kidney failure when they get real old, but should we go to the vet or just monitor it?
Yeah, good question, Paul. I mean, I guess I would say if it's a change, yes, it is significant, okay? Doing a blood test would be the best place to start, okay, because that can be quite comprehensive. That can give you information about any signs of infection. That can give you indications about kidney function, as you've talked about, liver function, but also diabetes be another one. Do have a chat to your local vet about what they would prefer to do first, but the easiest, most non-invasive sample that can be helpful to start with is a urine sample, okay?
Yep.
If it is diabetes, for example, you're going to see sugar on that urine sample, okay? If there are kidney problems, there are a couple of different flags that we're going to get from that urine sample, and if any of those things show up, then the next step would be a blood test. Okay. So it can be an easy thing to start with and obviously non-invasive. If you are going to take a urine sample to your vet, just give them a call because they may have a preference, what time of day sample you collect, how you collect it, how quickly they want to get the sample, those sorts of things.
Yeah. Yep.
But yes, I would definitely recommend that you think about investigating.
Don't you? Keep an eye on it, get a sample and get it done, get it seen to sooner rather than later, you think?
Absolutely, because if it's something like diabetes, for example, that gets worse with time, okay? So you want to be avoiding complications from the disease if at all possible.
Okie dokie. Yeah, we'll do that then. She's she had blood tests last year, then in 2022.
Okay. Excellent.
Didn't range then, but things change, I suppose.
Yeah, definitely. You know, if she'd had blood tests in the last 6 months, I'd say, maybe have a chat to your vet, see if they want to do something else first. But if it's a couple of years ago, a lot can change then.
Well,
so
there was one 6 months ago, and then there was one in 2022. So I'm just wondering how quickly it would drop off, you know.
Look, it can happen really quickly, Paul, definitely. Start with a urine sample. That's pretty easy, non-invasive, and definitely one of our lower-cost diagnostics, and see if that shows up something.
Good luck with that, Paul. Next on the line, we've got Margaret from Garden Suburbs. Hi, Margaret.
Hi.
Hi, Margaret. How can we help?
I've got a 14-month-old Shih Tzu.
Yes.
I know Shih Tzus are mad, and she is crazy.
Okay.
But she's hyperactive.
Okay.
And I just want to know, is this normal for Shih Tzus? Like, we can't watch television because she barks at the television. She barks at everyone that walks across the footpath.
Okay.
She wants to be dominant all the time. If I'm sitting on the lounge, she jumps up on me and puts her face right in my face.
Oh, dear.
She's just crazy.
So who would you say rules the household, Margaret?
The dog.
You got it in one. I think, you know, she's still really young, so she's still learning the boundaries, she's still pushing the boundaries, and it sounds like she's very much making the rules. Okay. Did you do sort of puppy preschool or dog training?
Yes, we did puppy preschool and all the rest of it.
Yep.
But she passed everything in puppy preschool. She was excellent.
Well,
and then as soon as we got her back from there,
Well, look, on the plus side, Margaret, if she did well at puppy preschool, you've got good bare bones to work with. Okay. You know, she can do it. She can choose when to do it. She's just learnt that she doesn't have to do it. Okay.
Right.
So I would very much be getting in contact. It sounds like I'd be encouraging you to outsource some help here, okay, from a professional, because you potentially have easily 10 to 15 years of this special little puppy, and you want to make that good quality time. You don't want it to be stressful for yourselves, and you certainly want her to have, you know, a good quality of life where she's not anxious, she's not having to sort of be in charge all the time and make the rules all the time. So I would recommend contacting your local vet, okay, and they will have a dog trainer that they recommend. Alrighty. Okay. And I'd be having a couple of sessions with the dog trainers. The good dog trainers, it's always positive, okay? It's not negative, yep. It's positive training. And they'll give you some homework, okay? It's not going to happen without some homework.
I realise that. She's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's just dominant.
Yeah. 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 And look, you know, they are big personalities in little cute fluffy bodies. And so I think you've got great potential. You're starting early. You know, she's obviously smart. She knows what she's doing. We just need to redirect that. And I'd be recommending seeking professional help, Margaret.
Okay, Margaret, good luck with that. Hopefully you'll be fine.
Look, I think, you know, 14-month-old Shih Tzu just likes ruling the roost.
That's right.
And 14-month-old Shih Tzu has been allowed to rule the roost. And now we need a change.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, and that's okay.
Yeah, good luck, Margaret. This is Pet Chat on 2NURFM. Congratulations to Murray from Brankston. You have won the $50 pet food voucher. We'll be in touch about that. And in the meantime, we're going to have a look at our Pet of the Week on our 2NURFM website. So if you go to 2NURFM.com.au and you click on the lifestyle programs, you'll find our Pet of the Week for Pet Chat.
Yeah, little May is a two-year-old cat. She's adorable. Black and white cat with some very unique and intriguing markings. So she's adorable. Little black dot on her nose. Very cute. Two-year-old. So that's a perfect age to adopt a cat. You've done your kitten hyperactive stage. And
I'm doing at the moment.
Yes. Lots of years in between to cuddle and enjoy each other's company. So she looks a great one. Would be happy for pats and cuddles, which is brilliant. She has a gentle nature. Should be fine with kids. Would be happy being the only pet, but she has been tested with cats, so that's an option as well for you. But she's particularly adorable. So if you're up for a cat adoption, check out May.
She hasn't met a dog yet, so
no,
we don't know if she's okay with dogs.
And look, you know, any animal, if they haven't experienced it, their go-to is going to be, no way. But, you know, as we've talked about lots today already, just slow, steady steps in the right direction, lots of positive training. There's no reason that provided it's not a dog that wants to eat her. If the dog's the right dog, there's no reason that May couldn't join the family.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if you'd like to check out May, just head to our website at 2NURFM.com.au. And we are almost out of time. Hopefully next week Cheryl will be feeling better and she'll be back. And,
yes, it'll be someone else's turn, not mine,
not
next
yours.
Week. But no, I'm so happy to be back. It's my first time back this year.
It's nice to see you.
But, nice to be back and answering everyone's questions, which I always love.
Well, we will see you next week on 2NURFM. Thanks very much, Fiona.
Again, thanks, Amanda. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. Topics range from gardening to health, well-being, pet care, and travel. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.